The main character in our reading from the Gospel of Matthew this morning is one who is rarely the main character. It's Joseph. And this particular story only comes around once every 3 years, so it's important that when it does come around that we pay careful attention. Most often the story of the Holy Family focuses on the mother and the child. Even in artwork where the Holy Family is depicted, Joseph almost often seems to be an afterthought or an uncomfortable sidekick. Perhaps the fact that Joseph is not the biological father of Jesus is the reason that he gathers so little attention by the gospel writers. Or perhaps it was pointing to his demeanor, one of pointing away from himself, not gathering much attention. In our canon of scripture, Joseph never utters one word. He has no long pronouncements, no enduring testimonies. What we know of Joseph, we have right here in Matthew. He's mentioned in Luke peripherally, but not at all in Mark or in John. We wish we knew more about Joseph and his day-to-day dealings that he had with his adopted son, but we just don't. The cousin of Jesus, John the Baptist, that we hear so much from this time of year, is the mouthpiece, proclaiming the coming of the Lord. And Joseph is certainly not that, but his role is every bit as important, and we need not overlook the importance of Joseph in the story of the baby Jesus and the Lord, the Messiah. The stage is set, and this situation is messy, to say the least. Matthew has begun his gospel with a great litany of names, those he lists as forebears of Jesus, the Messiah. The list is not straightforward, nor is it pure. To begin, the lineage is traced through women. And to complicate things even more, several of the women are foreigners, with soiled, to say the least, reputations. If we're catching these not-so-subtle hints that Matthew is throwing us, we are primed for the news that begins with the passage we have today. News again that hints that things are not going according to the acceptable way of doing things. This girl, Mary, is suspect. Then the real news hits. Mary is with child, and she's engaged to Joseph. And it is not his child. This is not good. This is not good news in Anniston, Alabama in 2013. It's even worse news in Damascus, Syria in 2013. And it is absolutely the worst news in Jerusalem about 0 AD. And here, the one important piece of information that we have about Joseph is revealed. Joseph is a righteous man. Joseph is a law-abiding Jew. He follows God. He obeys, or tries really hard at least, to obey the Jewish law. And since he's not only a follower of the law, but is also a righteous man, in keeping with folks like Abraham and Noah, he decides not to have Mary stoned to death or run out of town with nothing but the clothing on her back, but to quietly release her, let her go away, presumably to her father's house, where she still may be stoned to death by her father or run out of town. Her father is probably not as righteous as Joseph, which is his absolute right. Her fate and future are doomed either way, it seems. But Joseph does the best thing he can in this situation. The humiliation, the hurt, the devastation that this unfaithful woman has brought upon him. But you know, you really don't know, aren't told anything about Joseph's feelings or his reaction to the news that the woman he is to marry is with child. We don't hear about Joseph's fury that he's been betrayed. We aren't told about his tirade demanding that Mary reveal the name of the true father of this child. What we hear is that this righteous man is unwilling to expose her to public disgrace. He's not running through the town calling her every name in the book. He's not hanging out with his carpenter friends at the local tavern, working everyone up into a fury because this trashy woman has shamed him in every way. He could have done that. That's human nature. And in that culture, he had every right to do that and every reason to do that. Remember, in Joseph's culture, there is nothing worse than shame, and Mary has brought him shame. Put yourself in Joseph's place for just one second. Your fiancé comes home with child. Or if you're a female with another woman who is with child, would you be unwilling to expose him or her to public disgrace? Or would you want everyone in Calhoun County or even the state of Alabama to know that your fiancé had done you wrong? For those of you who would behave like Joseph, good for you. Well done, good and faithful servants. I don't think most of us are quite that righteous. We can learn from the example of Joseph. We can learn not to jump to conclusions and to offer grace, even in the face of situations that beg for retribution and revenge. Joseph is a righteous man, a good man, a man of few words but deep faith and deep reserve. To me, Joseph embodies so many men born in the time that's been called the greatest generation. So often these men are few words, but much action. Those whose lives reflect their values and even their emotions, those for whom actions truly speak louder than words. Their actions are their words. I had a grandfather like Joseph. He was my mother's father, and he was old when she was born, about 44. He was a math teacher and the principal of Gaston High School for a while. He loved baseball, and my memory, he always had a transistor radio with an earpiece in his ear with one game on, while the television simultaneously broadcasted a different game with the sound off. I don't remember him ever saying more than 4 or 5 words a day. And it wasn't that he wasn't engaged or didn't care. He just didn't need a lot of words. Most mornings when I spent the night with this set of grandparents, I was awakened with my face covered in shaving cream and a tap on my nose. Papa Davis was mischievous. He loved games, even word games, like the daily crossword puzzle. But he himself was very economical with his words. You probably know someone like that. Joseph took Jesus as his son. He raised him as his own after a vision from an angel. He was a righteous man who did a righteous thing. The angel told Joseph to name the child Jesus. Naming is an act of owning, taking responsibility for, making that which is named yours. And Joseph did just that. He named this child, a child that he knew was not his. He took this child as his own. Joseph, without comment or complaint, without rebuttal or dispute, followed through on what the angel told him to do. He was a righteous man. He was a man of faith, a man of honor, and he did the right thing. He made this child his own. There were probably many in the town that looked at him with shock and dismay, probably many who thought he was a fool for marrying this scorned woman, this woman who took advantage of his goodness. He stayed the course, followed the guidance he was given, and because of his goodness, the child grew in fullness and in stature. We don't know what Joseph taught Jesus. His direct influence is not recorded, but we know that it was there. Perhaps Joseph taught Jesus his trade of carpentry. Perhaps he taught Jesus to be faithful and true to his word. Maybe Joseph taught Jesus to wait and watch and not use more words than he needed. What we know is that Joseph was open to God and was an integral part of God's plan. Thanks be to God for Joseph and all those who follow in his footsteps. Amen.